For our short reflection this morning, please turn with me to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 12. യാക്കോബ് എഴുതിയ ലേഖനം ഒന്നാം അധ്യായത്തിൻ്റെ പന്ത്രണ്ടാം വാക്യം. Blessed is the one who perseveres under the trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. പരീക്ഷ സഹിക്കുന്ന മനുഷ്യൻ ഭാഗ്യവാൻ. അവൻ കൊള്ളാകുന്നവനായി തെളിഞ്ഞ ശേഷം കർത്താവ് തന്നെ സ്നേഹിക്കുന്നവർക്ക് വാഗ്ദത്തം ചെയ്ത ജീവകിരീടം പ്രാപിക്കും. പരീക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുമ്പോൾ ഞാൻ ദൈവത്താൽ പരീക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുന്നുവെന്ന് ആരും പറയരുത്. ദൈവം ദോഷങ്ങളാൽ പരീക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടാത്തവനാകുന്നു, താൻ ആരെയും പരീക്ഷിക്കുന്നതുമില്ല. ഓരോരുത്തൻ പരീക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുന്നത് സ്വന്തം മോഹത്താൽ ആകർഷിച്ച് വശീകരിക്കപ്പെടുകയാലാകുന്നു. മോഹം ഗർഭം ധരിച്ച് പാപത്തെ പ്രസവിക്കുന്നു, പാപം ഉഴുത്തിട്ട് മരണത്തെ പെറുന്നു. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come to your holy sanctuary and worship you, our Father. God, let the words of my mouth and meditation of our people be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Two persons named James play a major role in the New Testament. The first one, James the son of Zebedee. We often come across this James in the Gospels. The second James is the brother of Jesus, who was a leader in Jerusalem later and until his martyrdom in around AD 64. When we look into the book of Acts chapter 12 verse 1 and 2, there we read, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So from here it is clear that James, the son of Zebedee, was martyred or he was killed by the Herod Agrippa I in around AD 44. So it is widely accepted that the James, the author of this epistle, is the James, the brother of Jesus. And this letter is addressed not to any specific church, as when we look into the epistles of letters of Paul, he often writes to some specific churches, church in Romans, church in Corinth, church in Galatia, something like that. But this letter is not addressed to a specific church. Instead, it appears to be a general letter addressing the numerous churches spread across the diaspora. Numerous churches around, in and around the ancient Palestine. In verse 1, we read, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So it's a general letter to all the churches. And when we go through this epistle or the letter of James, we can find it's a very short letter, just 5 chapters. It's full of instructional speeches. Instruction, speeches on the basic Christian life. And James deals with issues like the faith and wisdom, the trial and temptations, and hearing and doing the word of God, and taming the tongue, etc. A lot of issues. They are basic and instructional speeches that he is giving to the churches spread across the diaspora. The historical context of this book, and we know the early church, the first century church, was under severe persecution, both from the Jews and also from the Roman Empire. And they were scattered. Because of the persecution, the believers were scattered to the different places. In Acts chapter 8, there we read, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. That was the historical context. The early believers were scattered into entire Judea and Samaria because of the severe persecution. The moment they confessed Jesus as the Savior, then they were severely persecuted and they had to flee from their places to save themselves. And one of the most amazing things that we notice here, the believers, early believers, who were scattered into different places, then they didn't remain silent. They preached the gospel wherever they went. And the Bible says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So the early, that is the early Christians, even though they were undergoing the persecutions, even though their life was in threat, they didn't remain silent. They keep on preaching, keep on sharing the gospel. And thus the church began to grow in different parts of the world. And in verse 2, James says, James is asking the believers to face the trials with pure joy. Face your trials with pure joy. The word pure joy. Why the pure joy? Is there an impure joy that exists? The pure joy simply means the joy that is not pretend or act. And James is asking, consider the many trials that you go through as a testing of your faith. As a testing of your faith that produces perseverance. So in a way, James is inspiring the believers who are scattered in diaspora. And he knows that they are under persecution. They are under trials. And he is asking to consider your trials as a testing of your faith. In verse 12, there we read, blessed is the one who perseveres under the trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So here, James is unveiling a truth that in our spiritual journey, in your spiritual journey as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, we need to face both tests and temptations. So today I'm going to deal with these two topics, test and temptations. That is inevitable in our spiritual journey. And here, James says, the testing of our faith, it always comes from God. So being a believer, being a follower of Christ, we need to face test and temptation. And the Bible says, the testing of our faith is always coming from God. Please look into the Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. Please someone read. So I want you to read the scripture for me, because it's a very, you know, cold Sunday and I don't want you to sleep. Please someone.
Genesis 22,
either in Malayalam or English, no problem. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Oh, there is no Genesis chapter 2 in your Bibles? Come on. Genesis chapter 22. Not 2, 22. Sorry. I'm sorry for that. Okay. Thank you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. The word is used, tested. God tested Abraham. And we know the story, entire story. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. A very difficult, very hard, very tough test put for Abraham. And when we read further the text, Genesis chapter 22, then we can see Abraham stood the test and he was greatly blessed. He went through the testing process, he obeyed it, and he was greatly blessed. In verse 16 onwards, there we read, I swear myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and as sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offsprings, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So when God tested Abraham, he stood in that test and he was greatly blessed. Again, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Someone else, please read. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Come on, make it fast. What is it? Youngsters? Children? Okay, thank you. When we read in English, it says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep these commands. So here says, to humble and test you. God testing the faith of Israelites. And if you read the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy thoroughly, there we see that the most of the Israelites who set out from Egypt to the promised land, they did not stand in this testing period. Rather, they perished in the wilderness. They perished in the wilderness. So we need to look, how did Abraham respond to God's test? When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, as a burnt offering, there we read, he was obedient. Bible says, early the next morning, he got up and loaded the donkey and set out for Moriah. He didn't wait for that. When God asked him, he became an obedient servant of God. From next morning itself, he loaded up the donkey and set out for the Moriah. We know the entire story, what happening there. The old man Abraham, in his 100, after waiting for such a long period, he got a son, Isaac. And now God is asking him to sacrifice Isaac. Sacrifice, in a sense, to put him on a sacrifice altar and cut him in piece to, and burn him as a burnt offering. We can't imagine even that. And this old man, Abraham, is going to Moriah with his only son, Isaac. On the way, Isaac asking a very, you know, painful question. The father, the fire and the wood are here. We are going for, you said we are going for a burnt offering. We have got the wood, fire, everything with us. But where is the lamb? I don't see any lamb around. To offer a burnt offering, we need a lamb. But father, where is the lamb? And there comes Abraham's response to this question, Isaac. Abraham said, "My son Isaac, God Himself will provide. God Himself will provide." This answer has a very deep meaning. When Abraham says, God Himself will provide, he says, the God who called me out of Ur. The God who called me out of nothing. When I was nobody. When I was making the idols and selling them. And when I was worshipping the moon god. When I was unknown about a living God. The God who called me from my father's land, from Ur. And brought me thus far. He made me a leader of a huge clan. I have so many servants. I have enough camels, donkeys, everything. Now I am a very rich man. I am a leader of a whole clan. And that God will provide. That's his faith declaration. And we know what happened. The moment Abraham was about to cut Isaac into pieces, God said, don't touch your son. And later, there was a lamp arranged for him on the Mount of Moriah. So that's where Abraham responded to God's testing. Then how did Israelites respond to God's testing? We know that on the Passover night, they all set out from Egypt to the promised land with great joy. With great joy. Why? Because they were in bondage for 400 years. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They were in despair, pain, and struggle. And now they are coming out of Egypt with great joy. They were marching towards the promised land. But as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, the 40 years God humbled them and tested them in the wilderness. You know how they responded to that? How? They murmured against God. Often they murmured against God and his servants. They often complaining. They often said, oh, we don't want to go to the promised land. We want to go back to our Egypt. They murmured against God when there was testing in their life. And from among the 600,000 plus people, who set out from Egypt. We must notice only two, Joshua and Caleb, entered into the promised land with the new generation. Of course, there was other people, they were new generation. See, out of 600 plus, they started their journey from Egypt. Only two entered the promised land. Why? Because throughout their journey, they were rebellious. They murmured against God. They murmured against God's servants. They disobeyed God's commandment. And here James says, you consider your testing, the trials with pure joy. Take it with pure joy. It will produce perseverance. Then someone may ask, why this testing? Why God is testing us? Why we need to undergo testing in our spiritual journey? Testing is only to know whether we are eligible for the prize. Isn't it? In the schools, students have to face tests. Why? To know whether they are eligible for the higher studies. When you apply for a job, there also you have to undergo a test to know whether you are eligible to hold that post, that position. The same way, why God is giving testing in our life to know whether we are eligible for that final prize. What is the final prize for a believer? What is our final prize? Anyone? For what we are living, what is our final prize?
To serve God.
Pardon?
To
serve God? No, we have a prize awaiting. Salvation?
Heaven.
Eternal life? Okay.
Heaven.
You're almost gone. Bible says it's the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Of course, the eternal life, the crown of life. And the testing is to know whether you and I are eligible for that crown of life in the end. So when we go through trials and testing of life, please don't murmur, don't complain. Hold on to the cross. Cling on to the cross. And be obedient to win the prize. Then the second topic here James deals with is temptation. The first one, test, and temptation. Temptation is always from the evil, not from God. Because here word says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So temptation is always from an evil, from the Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, where we read, while Jesus coming back from the wilderness after 40 days of fasting, there we read, the tempter came and said to him, who came? The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. The same tempter whom we can see in Genesis chapter 2, who approached Eve, tempting her. So temptation is always from evil. Yielding to temptation will lead us to evil desires. And evil desires will force us to commit sin. See, temptation to this evil desires will force us to commit sin, and sin will take us to a very pathetic life situation or eternal death. That's what James is talking about here. So, Don't blame God for that. Once you are entrapped in a temptation and you are committing a sin and you are suffering the consequence of that, don't blame God for that. Because God hasn't created you and me as a puppet in His hand. Okay? We must know that. We are not puppets in God's hand. When God tunes, we dance. No. No, no. Not at all. He has given us a free will to choose. That's the beauty of creation, of humankind. God has given us a free will to choose. And you are free to make your choices. You and I are free to make our choices when we are living in this world. We are free to make our own choices. Nobody is going to question you. Nobody can question you. You are free to make your choices. But at the same time, you are not free from the consequences of your choice. You are free to make choice, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. Temptation is all around. I remember a phone call came to us while I was working with a Christian counseling agency to our office from a 26-year-old IT professional based in Bangalore, working for a US company. A very young man, born and brought up in a traditional Christian family. A family which is very much connected with the church. The parents and his siblings, they are having they're playing important roles in the church. And this young man also was, he was also a staunch Christian. He was there in the choir, in the church, in the youth movement, and all the activities, in mission activities of the church. And when he was, he got a job, he shifted to Bangalore. And I'm talking to you something that happened some 15 years back. The other side of the phone, he was saying, I have decided to commit suicide. I'm going to commit suicide. Then the person asked, why? Why you have decided to commit suicide? Because he said, God has forsaken me. I was born and brought up in such and such family. I was very much connected to the church. I did this and that for God. From my young youth, I was part of the church, conducting fellowship, singing for the Lord, and going for the mission outreach, and contributing to the mission, this and all. But God has forsaken me. Then the person asked, can you just explain what you mean by saying God has forsaken you? And he said, now I am a drug addict. Drug addict, and I can't face my family. The Christmas vacation is approaching and my family, my parents are waiting for me. And they have made some surprises during this Christmas vacation for me. I can't go back home and stand before my dad and mom and my siblings. I can't cheat them. So I'm going to commit suicide. No, I am a drug addict. In the further conversation, he revealed he was a very pious young man. Of course, a good believer he was. He was working with a US company, and as part of his job, he has to work in the nighttime because of the time zone difference. And one of his friends suggested, and he often felt sleepy in the days, after working late in the night. When the friends gather together, he always says, I feel so sleepy, I was working all night, this and that. Then one of the friends suggested a shortcut to stay, to stay awake in the night or stay alive in the night, it was to start with cocaine. And he just promoted it. It's usual. Everyone does that. And he just promoted him and he started using cocaine, and later he became a drug addict. And he says, God has forsaken me. Now he is blaming God. Choice is ours, and we need to face the consequences. So here, James is asking the believers scattered across the diaspora, when you go through the trials, you stand firm in your faith, hold on to your promise of God. When you face the temptation, know that it is from the evil, and you need to resist with the temptations. And it's true with each one of us even today. When we go through the test in our life, spiritual journey, of course, we need to go through the test. Don't run away. Don't blame others. Don't blame God. Hold on to Him. And when we face temptations in our life, ask God to give us the wisdom to face it and challenge it. May God bless each one of us. Amen.